Well, I think I'm going to continue to talk about terrorist attacks coming in America. We've had the warnings to pray for the fruit of any that are lagging behind because a deadline was coming. And we also received dreams that we would be having a spring in the fall, which many signs proved, like fruit trees blooming now in December. Yeah, we got three of them right around the corner from us. Just awesome. This spring and fall represents fruit being born to the real bride at this time to seal them for coming attacks on American apostate Christianity. And what I want to talk to you about is that everything is going to change. Stan Patton said on 12/19, that's yesterday, I've had a couple of dreams the last couple of weeks that might be from the Lord. In the first one, which I had on December the 7th or 8th, I dreamed we, that is my family, were living in what I knew was a temporary home. Of course, his family could be spiritual there. And we believe his temporary home might be where he's living right now because he's got plans to move in the near future. And he said they were in a good-sized city. And this could represent the people of God. I looked off towards the horizon and saw what could have been an approaching storm. And I think, considering what we're going to talk about today, that this could be a terrorist army loosed against U.S. cities and Christians and their children in particular. And I knew in my inner man that after the storm went through, would come the earthquakes. Mm-hmm. So, this is the great quakes from the east to the west, along with the revival that we've seen coming in scriptures and dreams, visions, and prophecies. But I think this is connected to the next dream. Stan said in the second dream, on December the 18th, I dreamed that I was on Obama's staff, or perhaps just a hanger-on, and was observing him go about his evil business. At one point, he was laid out as for a doctor's examination, and I could see that under his clothes, he didn't have normal human flesh, but a skeletal frame that was made of plastic and metal, possibly symbolizing his lack of humanity. You know, they don't know. As I was waking up, I heard a voice say, "After tomorrow night, everything will change." Now, there could be a sign in here of when to start that count, but not recognizing it, I'm going to go on and just share what could possibly be the answer here. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes the Lord gives you a time to start counting, a sign or a symbol. You know, there could be one there that I'm not seeing. But as I was waking up, I heard a voice say, "After tomorrow night, everything will change." Since that's last night, we won't have long to see if anything happens. I had to change that because that's tonight. Okay, but that was last night. So, listen up now. After the night of the 19th, 20th, the much-dreamed and prophesied terrorist mega-attack could be loosed. Some say that Christmas will be the time, and others in January. But, of course, these could be two different attacks, too, so we don't want to rule that out. We are now coming to the end of spring and fall, when God said that the bride would bear fruit, meaning, I believe, the sealing, sealed from the destruction to come. This was confirmed afterwards when many fruit trees around the country began to bloom in October and all the way up until now in December. Astounding. And they're saying that the 21st at 11:49 at night is the last day of fall. So we're getting real close here. Our dreams of the bride bearing fruit in the spring and fall seems to be a deadline. And afterwards, the winter, as you know, the Bible calls it great tribulation. So we got not the great tribulation, but a great tribulation coming. And I believe it's coming for the larger church to restore the fear of the Lord in the church. That fear is already in the bride and the man-child because they've already fought their wars with faction and to love one another and so on and so forth. So that's what all that was about, is to prepare them to be a first fruits, right? So we may be reaching a deadline. And just remember that God dwells not in time. So please pray and repent of anything. Pray for the brethren who are lagging behind so that they all bear fruit. In other words, those who have been trained to be the bride have a possibility of being in there. But the fruit has to be born. The end of fall and the beginning of winter seems to be a deadline for the bride to bear fruit and be sealed so that the judgment can come that can come to bring the rest of the church back to the fear of the Lord and repentance. And remember that the Assyrian beast was able to conquer Israel and Judah, but not the bride, which was spiritual Jerusalem. And I saw in a vision in 1998 of America being Nineveh, the head of the Assyrian world beast. So remember that, because we'll come back to that. This terrorist attack and the earthquakes will, I believe, finish off the economy, which they have falsely propped up so that these things get the blame. We've been looking for some kind of a false flag to come down the road in order to take the blame for the collapsing economy. And I believe this is ordained according to Scripture, where we're warned not to take up arms under penalty of death. And the powers that be are ordained to chasten apostate Christianity, and we are forbidden to fight with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. And we're told he that takes the sword will die by the sword. That's a promise from God. I don't believe I would take a chance. Many out there think that they can, but they're ignoring scriptures, and they probably know those scriptures too. And that's the thing that's going to separate the bride from the rest of the church, is disobedience. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, he says, right? Terrorist threats in the United States, from all that we've heard, are against schools, Christians, their children, police, and other things. And ISIS has admitted using the refugee crisis as a Trojan horse to invade the West. They like to laugh about their victories, and this one was handed to them. So, then we have UBM articles that show terrorist attacks are coming too, and we recently did, I believe, part one on this. So, a few people have gathered a lot of information. I haven't spent a whole lot of time doing that. Dave Hodges says that multiple experts and insiders say an imminent terrorist attack on the U.S. is coming. And I'll put a link here. And Lisa Haven reported over 100 bomb threats recently from terrorists against the cities all over the U.S. And that was just in a few days. And I'll put a link to that. By the way, you need to pray for these folks. I don't always agree with their cure for this. And I don't agree with the weapons and stuff like that, but they are doing something that's very dangerous for them. And so keep them in your prayers. And we don't want anybody to die till they come to the knowledge of the truth. And so. And she also says a 2016 surprise is headed our way. ISIS attacks right around the corner. And multiple sources confirming that. So, and one article is called Jihadists Threaten Bloodbath in the United States. It's not like they're not saying they're going to do it too. I mean, they are. They're saying, the insiders in the government are saying it. Military people are saying it. Dreams and Visions are saying it. And, you know, I just don't feel like it's worth taking a chance, right? I don't know that we can pray all of it away. I don't think so. I think we can pray it away for people who are not under the curse because of their repentance, their faith, and their obedience. Okay? So, we know that mosques were made off limits to government investigations. And we know that over in Germany and thereabouts, those countries round about, that they have actually looked into the mosques and found that they were storing up weapons. And so they shut them down. But our government has made that illegal. It's not illegal for them to shut churches down. They do that. But they wouldn't do that to a mosque. So, you know, the Bible says, don't judge them that are without. Them that are without, God judges. We can point out things to Christians so that they understand these are the end times and these things are coming and you need to get serious about repenting and believing and the things that are important. Because these are the things that are important, not taking up guns. That'll get you killed. But repenting and believing, if you believe in God Almighty, is what will cause the righteous to escape judgment and death. We have been getting for days words in our morning prayer meeting of, and this is the Lord's emphasis, because many times the whole thing will be all about one subject, and this is it. The Lord is warning through our morning prayer meeting of an enemy attack against America. And also who will be taken and who will escape. And like I said, these were all within a few days and were given through prayer and faith by random. Some people make fun of random, but hey, what is the chances that all of the verses that you get are all about the same thing and what to do about it? So they just don't believe in the sovereignty of God. That's the reason they come against something like that. And by the way, full gospel people have done this throughout the centuries. This is not a new thing. Dave Nelson says, I opened my e-sword to research a word from the Numerics Bible, and I'm in John. And the verse that Esword gave me was this morning, Jeremiah 4 and 7. A lion is gone up from his thicket, and a destroyer of nations. He is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities to be laid waste without inhabitant. And then he said, Christmas will not be the same as the old Christmases of the past. So he believes it's going to be Christmas, okay? And it could be because he's not the only one saying that. Apostate Christianity, he goes on to say, is about to get reckoned or rocked to its core along with the rest of the world. Yes, I believe that's a distinct possibility. I'm going to read you the text. With all of these, when we may get a verse, but then wherever the text agrees with the verse or expands on the verse on either side of it, we'll include it. So I'm doing that here. In context, his verse, I'm starting with Jeremiah 4 and 3, says, For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. And by the way, Judah is, I believe, the full gospel people. Judah means praise, which is pretty much only manifested in the Spirit among them. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and that means cut away from the flesh, right? Take away the foreskins of your heart. Don't lust after the things of the world, right? Ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn so that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. So there are people among the inhabitants of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem that God does not like their doings. They have yet to repent. And so the Lord makes a promise here. And he goes on to say, Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, Blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry aloud, and say, Assemble yourselves, and let us go into the fortified cities. Set up a standard towards Zion. For Zion is that place of safety, right? Flee for safety. Stay not, for I will bring evil from the north, and a great destruction. A lion is gone up from his thicket, and a destroyer of nations. He is on his way. He is gone forth from his place, to make thy land desolate, that thy cities may be laid waste without inhabitant. For this gird ye with sackcloth, lament and wail, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. I also want to say that there are quite a few people that believe that a false flag nuclear event is possible in some cities. And there is some dreams about that in the past that I can remember a little bit about. And I don't think it's an impossibility, especially since this administration inherited, from what I can understand, a couple of bombs that were taken out of storage by the last administration and not used. And so, we'll just see. Or actually, maybe it wasn't the last administration. Maybe it was this administration. But anyway, they have, I'm understanding from people that are more in the know than me, that they have possession of these things that can't be accounted for. So, it's a possibility. To say nothing of the suitcase nukes that ended up missing from the Soviet Union. And Missy Pollock, she received this text. It's all about Daniel, the man-child, being spared from the lions, but not his accusers. Now, that's very interesting because we've got a couple of texts here about lions and those who escape them and those that don't. So I'm going to read this to you. in Daniel 6 and 12. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's interdict. Hast thou not signed an interdict that every man that shall make petition unto any god or man within 30 days, save unto thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Of course, they were the ones that did this in order to trap Daniel because they were jealous of Daniel. They tried to scheme and to trap him. And it didn't work because God didn't cooperate with them. And I believe the same is true of the man-child. The king answered and said, The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, who is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the interdict that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased. He had befriended Daniel and had a respect for him, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to rescue him. Then these men assembled together unto the king, and said unto the king, Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no interdict or nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. The Lord wanted to make sure everybody knew it was a miracle, right? He wasn't climbing in and out of there at nighttime and so on. And verse 18 goes on to say, Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came near unto the den, to Daniel, he cried with a lamentable voice. The king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. So, there's a good reason right there. Daniel was innocent. He was not a sinner. He was walking with his God. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. All right. So he wasn't fighting with flesh and blood against the government. He even acted with respect towards the government. Then was the king exceedingly glad and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he had trusted in his God. No manner of hurt. Trusted in God. See, we're seeing the clues here of what could cause a person to escape the lions, which in this case, I believe, could very well be the terrorists. And the king commanded, and they brought those men that had accused Daniel, the factious guys, you know, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces before they came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the peoples, nations, and languages. He was converted. That dwell on all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. That's the truly the beast nation there, right? That dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. So, this brought fear. The taking out of the factious deceivers brought the fear of God on the people. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. And his dominion shall be even unto the end. So now we know how long this is going to last, right? Unto the end. So many clues in here about what God's trying to say. And it's neat how God can use things like this to speak to you in your time, even though literally it may not be speaking about that. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, and who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Amen. That seemed like a pretty good miracle to them, and I don't believe it's any bigger. We have a better covenant based on better promises, you know. So this Daniel proposed in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. Prospered. Well, you know, he said God sent his angels and closed the lion's mouths. I wonder if he's any less in control today. I believe the Lord does just that. I remember one time when I was on the Gulf Coast, and I had prophesied, I believe the year before, that a hurricane was going to come in and take out Pensacola Beach, where the merchants bring in all the homosexual crowd. And this was happening the next year. And there were a bunch of brethren in our Bible study there. And we were watching this thing on radar come right straight at us. And they asked me what I was going to do. And I said to them, I said, nothing. I said, I have a big angel standing in the front yard, and that hurricane is not coming here. Well, that was a pretty neat trick because, you know, I don't know, 10, 12 miles off from me was Pensacola Beach. So, that big angel, I'll tell you what he did. And you got one too standing right beside you. When that hurricane, the outer wall, hit Pensacola Beach, the most powerful part of the hurricane was tearing up the beach, and it was pointed right straight inland at me, but it took a right turn and it went right down the beach, put 6-8 foot of sand all on the road, all over the beach, all over the peninsula there, all through the stores, everything. Wiped it out. And then it made a circuit around behind us there in Pensacola, and then it took off north again, which is pretty neat. It was just the Lord just showing us exactly that this is exactly what he was making to happen. He was fulfilling both both revelations there. But he did it with his angel, his big angel. And I've seen big angels turn forest fires around, stop them dead in their tracks. You know, angels are mighty powerful beings. And Psalm 91 says that he gives his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He wants to make sure you don't get hurt at all. So, anyway, just remember that you have these ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. And it covers terrorists, it covers everything you can imagine, anything you can imagine. So, what about them lions? Well, I'm going to go on a little bit here. I got Jeremiah 4:27. For thus saith the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation. Yet will I not make a full end. Well, of course not. He is out to save people. He's out to put the fear of the Lord. And he's going to do what's necessary to do what he says he's going to do all through the scriptures, which is take out the enemy, take out the wicked. And primarily, judgment begins at the house of God. So the first people that are wicked that he wants to take out is the people of God who claim God, but they're walking in wickedness. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and I have not repented, neither will I turn back from it. Every city fleeth from the noise of the horsemen and bowmen, and they go into the thickets and climb upon the rocks, and every city is forsaken, and not a man dwelleth therein. And thou, when thou art made desolate, what wilt thou do? Yeah. And Eve Brast received this, Nahum 3:12 on down. I'll read you this text. All thy fortresses shall be like fig trees with first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they fall into the mouth of the eater. Well, that don't sound good, does it? Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. Could be those nanoparticles that they're spraying in everybody's heads around here. And the gates of thy land are set wide open unto the enemies. Oh my goodness, didn't that just happen? Mr. Obama just opened the door and invited them in, even after they were doing terrorist activities all over the Western nations of Europe. The fire has devoured thy bars. There's no safety. They're right here with us. Sounds just like it, doesn't it? How can the Lord hit it right on the money like that every time? Well, draw thee water for the siege. A siege. Strengthen thy fortresses, go into the clay, tread the mortar, make strong the brick kiln. There shall the fire devour thee, the sword shall cut thee off. They love swords, don't they? There's that scimitar, that sword that they have. It works very good for cutting things off because it's so heavy. It shall devour thee like the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the locust. Sounds like people that are plundered. The cankerworm and the locust are used in Joel to speak about his army that is coming, his northern army that's coming against God's people. And Dial Laughlin received this, Jeremiah 50:28. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon. And we believe Babylon is the United States. To declare in Zion. These are two spiritual entities. You don't come out of Babylon by going somewhere else. You come out of it by not living inside of it, in its ways, and so on and so forth. And you don't go to Zion like it's a physical place either. It's a spiritual place. to declare in Zion, so come out from among them and go among the bride. Grow up and walk among the bride. To declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of His temple. That is, the vengeance of what people are doing to His temple. Call together the archers against Babylon, all of them that bend the bow. And, by the way, it speaks much of the bending of the bow and shooting in darkness to about the faction, but guess what? There's two factions now. There's the one among Christians who is like an Edomite and like an Ishmaelite because they hate their brothers and so on and so forth. But then we have the physical Edomites and Ishmaelites now arrayed against Christianity in America. Remember what we said, we have said all along, is that first the bride and the man-child are going through this, and then the church as a whole is going to go through this. So now we're talking about just this very thing. And camp against her round about. Let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she hath done. Do unto her. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Yep, they're going to bring America down. And they're planning on bringing the Christians down with it. Therefore shall her young men fall in her streets, and all her men of war shall be brought to silence in that day, says the Lord. Because obviously if martial law comes, they'll just stand them down wherever they want to stand them down and use them to take the Christians' guns or whatever. They've already culled a good portion of the right wing of the military, especially the leadership. Behold, I am against thee, O thou proud one, says the Lord of hosts, for thy day is come. Thy day is come. At the time that I will visit thee. And that's a statement he uses quite often for bringing judgment. And the proud one shall stumble and fall, and none shall rise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all that are round about him. Don't know if you remember a few years ago when they kindled a fire in our cities, especially in California and in Florida. Of course, our government was saying it was lightning strikes. But that was ludicrous because they caught terrorists in the act. And also, I looked at the map of the fires of Florida that were all across Florida, and they were like equidistant one from another, like you started them. It didn't look anything like, it was not anything like lightning strikes. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah are oppressed together. And all that took them captive hold them fast. They refuse to let them go. I'm telling you, the people of God are going into a captivity in America, and martial law will be part of their tool to do that. The overthrow of the government will be part of their tool to do that. I mean, we don't have much say in the government now because the right wing has been cowed pretty much. But at that time, there won't be any say. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will thoroughly plead their cause that he may give rest to the earth and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. The Lord is going to save his people who walk with him, not those that say they're his people, but those people who walk with him and are obedient. Every time there's been a beast government rise up against God's people, it was God who caused it to rise up. And it was for the purpose of bringing them to repentance. If they didn't come to repentance, they just died in the middle of it. And a sword is upon the Chaldeans, says the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon. A sword. And upon her princes and upon her wise men. Yes, amen. And Sue Gilbert received this text, and it's all about taking down Nineveh as a type of the U.S., who is, in a spiritual type, the head of the Assyrian beast, which failed to conquer the bride. So the type here is very accurate. I mean, I remember the vision I had in 1998 about America being Nineveh. It is the head of the world beast. Remember, all seven heads are still with us today. All those seven types, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, all those types are still with us. God uses all those types to tell us what's going to happen in the end time. Some things fit good in one and some fit good in the other. And here it is, Nahum 1 and 1 on down. The burden of Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. The Lord is a jealous God and avengeth. The Lord avengeth and is full of wrath. The Lord taketh vengeance on his adversaries. And he reserveth wrath for his enemies. It doesn't matter where the wrath comes from, who it comes from. Usually it comes from vessels of dishonor. But his enemies are those especially who claim to be his but fight against him or disobey him. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will by no means clear the guilty. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Remember that. Remember that Stan had a storm coming, after which the earthquakes would come. Okay, a storm. I believe this is on the horizon, this storm. And the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry. He drieth up all the rivers. You know, they just did that, in a way, bringing people who had no possibility of coming to America right on over, just like the sea had been dried up, brought them right on over here and brought down the walls of America and brought them right in. You just never know what God can do. He can do anything. He can make your own government do such a thing. This invasion was, of course, planned. It was an invasion of radical Islam in the West to destroy the West. It was planned. It was plotted. Bashan languisheth and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt. This is something that Stan was saying was coming. That's earthquakes and volcanoes. The earth melts. And the earth is upheaved at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken asunder by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that take refuge in him. But with an overrunning flood, he will make a full end of her place, and will pursue his enemies into darkness. He knoweth them that take refuge in him. There is a refuge, but it involves abiding in him. which is abiding in His Word. And let's face it, Christianity is full of idols. They followed evil men, Satan's ministers, who fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, as the apostle said. And then Missy Pollock received Esther 3:12. I'm going to share the text with you here. Esther 3:10. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. Ooh. So the king, he was really the king of kings, gave his authority over to the beast to come against the people of God. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also. He's talking about God's people. To do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called in the first month on the 13th day thereof. And there was written according to all that Haman commanded unto the king's satraps and to the governors and that were over every province, and to the princes of every people, to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written, and it was sealed with the king's ring, which was given to Haman. Wonder who Haman could be in this circumstance. Can you think of anybody like that? That would be given authority to the enemy to destroy God's people? And the Lord has done this. Can't blame it on any man. He works all things at the counsel of His will, and doeth according to His will upon the in the armies of heaven and upon the earth, says Daniel, right? And letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. A copy of the writing that the decree should be given out in every province was published unto all the peoples, that they should be ready against that day. So they're all cocked and ready for the sign to go forth, right? The posts went forth in haste by the king's commandment, and the decree was given out in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. Like, what kind of goofy thing is this, right? Well, as you know, Esther, the bride, was used to save the true church from Haman's destruction, right? And they were shown how to stand for their lives, quote unquote. And that, of course, is through faith. Now, the bride knows this because the bride's been into the Word of God and the man-child. They know what faith will do. But the church does not. They haven't been taught those things. They've been taught to take up their weapons, which will get them killed, but they haven't been taught that that they can be defended by faith. And by the way, integrity and righteousness. Righteousness delivereth from death. So, and Michael Hare received this text, Hosea 1 and 2 on down. I'm going to read it to you. When the Lord spake at the first by Hosea, the Lord said unto Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredom and children of whoredom. Well, what do you think that is? The harlot, the mother of the abominations of the earth. the mother of the harlots of the earth. Right? For the land doth commit great whoredom, departing from the Lord. And that's just about all of Christianity we're talking about here. They're all daughters of the mother harlot. They've all gone their own way. We don't believe this anymore. We don't believe that. All passed away with the apostles. Don't you know that? Blah, blah, blah. You know? So he went and took Gomer, the son of Diblaim, and she conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause the kingdom of the house of Israel to cease. Yeah, much of what we call churchianity here in America is going to cease for several reasons. I'm not going to go into those right now, but several that the Lord has revealed to us. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And the Lord said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel. The Lord has had mercy. They think that it's a sign of his pleasure with them. He's just had mercy. But the rebellion is deep-seated. It will take everything that the Lord is doing to cause people to reconsider and go back to the Word and find their abiding in Christ a place of safety. That I should in any wise pardon them. It's past the place of pardon, folks. He's not going to do it. He's going to bring chastening. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. So, you full gospel people out there, God is not going to use your self-efforts, your army, your weapons. He's going to save those who serve the Lord. And Jeremiah 51 and 44, which I forgot who had that. I looked for it. I couldn't find it. But somebody got that. Jeremiah 51 and 44 on down, it says, and I will execute judgment upon Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. That's the people of God, by the way, in the context. And the nations shall not flow any more unto him. And Bel, of course, is their serpent god, the dragon god, Baal god. God's going to judge Baal worshiping American Christians because Baal is the false Jesus. So, I mean, you know, he's going to judge their God. He's going to show them that their God will not save them and that their God is not himself. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. And it has. Can you imagine? It has fallen. These people were kept out, but they were invited in by one of their own. And that's because God decided to do this. My people, go ye out of the midst of her. Save yourselves, every man, from the fierce anger of the Lord. Don't be a part of Babylon, or Babylonish religion, or those that worship Baal, the dragon. They don't even know it. How many revelations did we have a few years ago about the dragon being stretched out over churches? Especially the false revival movement. Several people I know of had revelations and saw the dragon stretched over their churches. He was ruling over them. That's Baal. My people, go ye out of the midst of her. Save yourselves, every man, from the fierce anger of the Lord. Let not your heart faint, neither fear ye the tidings that shall be heard in the land. For tidings shall come 1 year, and after that in another year shall come tidings, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Yes, this is going to bring about a civil war, because the right wing is going to realize that this is the enemy ruling in the government and coming across the border and everything else. And, of course, they're going to try to take up their guns so they can really whoop them, you know. But at any rate, therefore, behold, the days come that I will execute judgment upon the graven images of Babylon, and the churches are full of them. And her whole land shall be confounded, and all of her slain shall fall in the midst of her. And Eve Brass received Psalm 18 and 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Call upon the Lord, the real Lord. You can't call on Baal. God can't let Baal save you. If he did, he would be confirming a false god. Amen. And Missy Pollock received this. Ezekiel 16 and 22 on down. And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare, and was weltering in thy blood. And it came to pass, well, nakedness means not dressed up of Jesus Christ, not doing the works of God, not putting on His works, right? It came to pass, after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, says the Lord, that thou hast built unto thee a vaulted place, has made thee a lofty place in every street. What do you think that lofty, vaulted place is in every street? You think it's the churches in America? I do. Thou hast built thy lofty place at the head of every way, and hast made thy beauty an abomination, and hast opened thy feet to every one that passeth by, and multiplied thy whoredom. In other words, they received the seed of the world. That's why they were called a harlot. So they weren't faithful to their husband, who was the Lord, who they claimed to be their Lord. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and has multiplied thy whoredom to provoke me to anger. And the Lord is angry about this, about the world in the church. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food. I don't know if you know it, but they are making a strike against the very breadbasket of America, where much of our food comes from. They have begun a drought with their weather modifications, and they did it on purpose. They're doing it on purpose. They want to bring down the food availability in the country so they can control the masses when these things happen. They taken moisture from the west and brought it over and dumped it on the east so that not only the farmers in the west can't make anything decent, but the farmers in the east can't make anything different. And delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines. Yeah, that's right. That's correct. That's right on. That are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast played the harlot also with the Assyrians. There it is again. Because thou wast insatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet thou wast not satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy whoredom unto the land of traffic, unto Chaldea. Yeah, Babylon. Yep, they've received the seed of Babylon. Pledging allegiance to the flag, even. Can you imagine? And yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thy heart, says the Lord, seeing thou dost all these things, the work of an impudent harlot, in that thou buildest thy vaulted place at the head of every way. There they are, building their old churches to Baal. Got the Baal bush up front too. And makest thy lofty place in every street, and hast thou not been a harlot, in that thou scornest hire? A wife that committeth adultery, that taketh strangers instead of her husband. They give gifts to all the harlots, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and bribest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredoms. And thou art different from other women in thy whoredoms, in that none followeth thee to play the harlot. And whereas thou givest hire, no hire is given unto thee. Therefore thou art different. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, behold, thy filthiness was poured out, thy nakedness uncovered. In other words, their sins are revealed, right? I think the world can see better than the church what's wrong with the church. Through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and because of all the idols of thy abominations, and for the blood of thy children that thou didst give unto them, therefore, because the religious people have turned their children over to abominable harlots to destroy them. And they don't even understand it because they don't read the Bible. Therefore, behold, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all of them that thou hast loved, with all of them that thou hast hated, and I will even gather them against thee on every side. Yep. Even America will turn against the Christians, which they at one time considered their lovers, considered their friends, and they had committed fornication with Babylon. And will uncover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. They're going to see how evil, and they've been seeing actually for years, how evil Christianity is. And the preachers who get tempted and tested, they prove who they are in front of the whole world. What a terrible witness before Christianity. Or for Christianity before the world, right? And I will judge thee as a woman that breaketh wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will bring upon thee the blood of wrath and jealousy. Well, I think that's where we're headed right now. And I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thy vaulted place. Remember a few years ago, a whole bunch of churches were burnt down? Well, I think you're going to see a lot more than that. And break down thy lofty places, and they shall strip thee of thy clothes, and take thy fair jewels. They shall leave thee naked and bare. They shall also bring up a company against thee. They shall stone thee with stones and thrust thee through with their swords. They shall burn thy houses with fire There it is. And execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot. Thou shalt also give no hire any more. So will I cause my wrath towards thee to rest. Sounds like this brought the people to repentance. And so, because they came to repentance, God ceased from his wrath. And my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet, and will be no more angry. And Sulavec received Galatians 1:1 on down. Paul, an apostle, not from men, neither through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. It's interesting he makes that comment, not from men, neither through men, because there are a lot of apostles out there now. We saw a whole bunch of them stand up and confirm a guy that just got caught in fornication with the secretary down there in Lakeland. And really embarrassed them all bad, because they were all confirming him, and then they found out he's just a fornicator. And all the brethren that are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now he corrects them, rebukes them, in verse 6 on. I marvel that you are so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema. And there are some religions that claim they know Jesus Christ, but were started by an angel from heaven with a different gospel. And, of course, the men who speak a different gospel, they're also dealing with the fallen angels, the demons. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preacheth unto you any gospel other than that which ye received, let him be anathema. So who's under the curse? Anathema means accursed. And of course he's talking about those who depart from the word. So who has no protection during this coming invasion? And Don Laughlin got Mark 4:28. This is another aspect we don't want to leave out. The earth beareth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the fruit is ripe, straightway he putteth forth the sickle, because the harvest is come. Well, amen. You know, Revelation speaks of two harvests from the sickle, using the sickle or whatever. A good one and a bad one. Of course, the bad ones didn't go to heaven, but the good ones did. There could be some people. You know, the Lord says in Hosea 4:6 that my people are destroyed for lack of understanding. There are some people that are God's people. They are walking according to what they know, but they're walking in such a way which they have been taught from their religion that's going to get them killed. It's not that they'll miss heaven. Okay? God knows who's guilty and who's not. He knows who he's covered with his blood and who not. But even if you are covered with the blood, you can do things that will get you killed according to what the Lord said in Hosea 4:6. Eve Brass heard Isaiah 21:8. And he cried as a lion, O Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a troop of men, horsemen in pairs. And he answers and said, Fallen, fallen is Babylon, and all the graven images of her gods are broken unto the ground. There you go. Baal is being judged. The false Jesus is being judged, and their people. O thou threshing, O thou my threshing, and the grain of my floor, that which I have heard from the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. Babylon is falling. And I received Ezekiel 14:5 on down, and it says that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. There is no relationship between the things that go on in most churches and the book of Acts or the Gospels. No relationship whatsoever. It is so different, and yet they can't see it. And that blindness comes from a religious spirit. You see, if the devil can't keep you from Christ, he can make you religious. And you would think you know Christ, and you don't, because you put other things ahead of him, especially your preachers and your idolatrous institutions, your denominations or non-denominational denominations. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord, Return ye, and turn yourselves from your idols. That's God's cry to you. Return ye from your idols. I'm talking about American Christianity here, you know. And turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that separates himself from me, and taketh his idols into his heart, as that's what religious people do. They separate themselves from the Lord. They may have started out because the Lord saved them, gave them a new spirit after the image of Jesus' spirit. But they soon are led astray into these idols. They don't realize that this is a test to see if they will depart from the Word to keep their religious affiliations, or will they suffer and suffer even being put out or separated from them because they hold fast to the Word of God. It's a test. And putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet to inquire for himself of me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him an astonishment for a sign and a proverb. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Why? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived and speak a word, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him, and I will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. So the false prophets out there, the false leaders of God's peoples, deceivers of God's people, God will destroy. And they shall bear their iniquity. The iniquity of the prophet shall be as the iniquity of him that seeketh unto him. So not only the prophet, but the poor people deceived by him. And Belinda Anderson received Isaiah 26, 16 through 19. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. Well, how come they didn't do it before the trouble came? It would be a lot easier on them, right? In trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Oh, this is so true. How often throughout history does the same cycle repeat? They get proud and arrogant and idolatrous, and the Lord sends a beast to devour them. Then they repent. Then they cry out to God, and He delivers them. And then after they're lifted up and blessed in everything that they do, they get lifted up and proud again. And the same cycle begins again. And it's over, and it's over. And they don't even bother to read the Word to find out these things so that they don't make the same mistakes. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery. Aha! I'd say we're pretty close, huh? Is in pain and crieth out in her pain. So have we been before thee, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, and we have, as it were, brought forth wind or spirit. Same word. They had the child, and they still haven't repented. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Yep, all their playing politics and all their voting in guys that they thought was the best they could do. And it's still a total failure because none of it was from God. And thy dead shall live, my dead body shall arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast forth the dead. I wonder if this has any relationship to the Valley of Dry Bones revival of the church. A resurrection of the dead. I suppose it could fit there. And Missy Pollock, Isaiah 5 and 4. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up. Well, that sounds like what we're talking about, doesn't it? I will break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And that sounds exactly like what's happened. They've taken down the wall, haven't they? Come on in, guys. Come on in. We know you hate us. We know you like to kill all Christians, but you just got through killing them all throughout the Middle East, so come on in and do it here. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor hoed. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for justice, but behold, oppression, and for righteousness, but behold, a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field. And I do believe that this is talking about the denominations. Till there be no room, and you be made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. It's really a way of faction, you know. We gather a group of people together to separate from another group of people. Or we teach people to separate from another group of people so that they'll be one with our group of people. It's just faction in action. Because the Lord said, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. He didn't want any division. He didn't want a sect or a division or a strife, as Paul called works of the flesh, which we call denominations. In mine ears, says the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. They're going to flee out of them things. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and an omer of seed shall yield but an ephah. Not much fruit being born there, is there? So the Lord's just going to destroy it. Remember he said that he would be one flock with one shepherd. Well, in order to do that, he has to destroy the denominations. And here you are, you're looking at it. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and that tarry late into the night, until wine inflame them. And the harp and the lute and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord. Yeah. Neither have they considered the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity. And that's what martial law is going to bring. And that's what all this is all about, so that they can bring martial law. For lack of knowledge. And their honorable men are famished. And their multitude are parched with thirst. Therefore, Sheol hath enlarged its desire, and opened its mouth without measure. And their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth among them descends into it. Yep. It's all going to hell. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. Come out. Why, some of those goofy things are teaching you can take the mark of the beast, and it's okay, because the mark of God is stronger. Can you imagine how dumb and decrepit they are getting? And Belinda and Don got the same text, which represent in the same day, which represents God bringing slaughter to the Edomites for their own terrorism against their brothers, which is the true Israel. And that's as a type of the true church. So the Lord's going to use all this to take down faction. God has shown us that this terrorism and the earthquakes that follow will bring an end of the present faction against the man, child, and the woman. So the text that they both got is Obadiah 1:6 on down. How are the things of Esau? Remember how Esau hated his brother. He was born as a son of Abraham, but he hated his brother and was rejected because of it. A root of bitterness, Paul said in Hebrews, right? Sold his birthright. Lots of people out there that are called Christians who are not, because they judge, they hate, they speak against their brothers, they're unforgiving towards their brothers, and the Lord won't permit it. How are his hidden treasures sought out? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee on thy way, even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread lay a snare unto thee. There is no understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, says the Lord, destroy the wise men out of Edom? and understanding out of the Mount of Esau? You know, the common spirit between the physical Edomites and Ishmaelites and the spiritual Edomites and Ishmaelites is faction. It's the common spirit. So you say, why would the physical come into this country and destroy the spiritual? Well, why does it happen in a person's life? Why does it happen that that these people kill their own people more than anybody else in the world? They kill their own. And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one may be cut off from the Mount of Esau by slaughter. There it is, cut off from the Mount of Esau by slaughter. I would say that's a threat. For the violence done to thy brother. Here's the reason. For the violence done unto thy brother Jacob, who represents the church. And thou shalt be cut off. He tells the reason why they're going to be cut off. The Sunnis and the Shiites. They love to kill each other. They're both Islamic. But they got a difference of opinion, obviously. They love to kill each other. So you think they're going to spare the spiritual Edomites and Ishmaelites in this country who have the same spirit of faction? No, because God, as we've said for a long time, is going to use the faction against the faction. Even as Abimelech and the men of Shechem cut off the sons of Gideon, the man-child. And later God turned them against one another. Fire came and destroyed them. And I believe the results of these judgments will bring captivity through martial law and the taking up of guns and, of course, civil war because of that, which God has said the right wing will lose because they are disobeying His laws. They are disobeying His laws. That's why it's happening. Let me share with you a little portion of Hidden Manna for the End Times, our book. The Nazis had convinced the public that the only way to stop the Communist Revolution was to pass the Enabling Act. This was a law which gave Hitler the power to pass laws by decree without consulting the Reichstag. Hey, that's kind of happening, isn't it? Since the Communist Party had been banned, it lost all of its representatives in the Reichstag to vote against the Enabling Act on 3-23-33, which gave Hitler his dictatorial powers. And as you know, he and his party persecuted and killed millions of Christians and Jews. Time will continue to prove that this is the way the U.S. is going. Now, this was written many years ago in Hidden Manna. It's been there a long time. And after the 9/11 attacks, Congress passed, and then G.W. Bush signed the Patriot Act. This could have been called the Enabling Act because it set aside much of the Bill of Rights. The USA Patriot Act was an acronym for Uniting and Strengthening America by Providing Appropriate Tools Required to Intercept and Obstruct Terrorism. Can you imagine? It has been criticized from the beginning for using terrorism as an excuse to allow the government to trample on civil liberties for their own agenda. At the expense of the personal protections It greatly expanded the authority of the U.S. law enforcement to fight terrorism in the United States and abroad. But now we're coming to the place where it doesn't fight it. It brings it in, and it's a part of it. Okay. The loss of personal protections allows them to define who is a terrorist. As it was with Germany, Christians and Jews will become the terrorists for obstructing the New World Order. And on 5-9 of 06, President Bush took another big step in this direction, while the mainstream press was very quiet about it. Bush signed an order called National Security Presidential Directive 51 and Homeland Security Presidential Directive 20. These decrees allow the president to assume dictatorial powers in the event of a catastrophic emergency, which, of course, they can create anytime they want to. But the text goes on to say, which is defined loosely as meaning any incident, regardless of location, that results in extraordinary levels of mass casualties. Oh, so we could have a dictatorship because of mass casualties. So, I mean, this whole bringing in of the people who can bring mass casualties is all about giving dictatorial powers. Okay. So, mass casualties, damage or disruption severely affecting the U.S. population, infrastructure, environment, economy, or governmental functions. Well, there's just so much meaning in there that we just have to have a dictator if we get attacked by the people that the dictator brings in. Wow. What a trap we have gotten ourselves into here, you know. According to this, anything from a hurricane, war, earthquake, tidal wave, meteor hit, economic crisis, terrorist attack, etc., could be used as a reason for the president to assume the powers in these directives. Then in 10 of 06, President Bush signed into law the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act. His administration quietly requested last-minute changes to this law, including removing the 200-year-old restraints on the U.S. government's ability to use the military to intervene in domestic affairs. This will allow a president to institute martial law in which the military will take control over civilian government. Or make those Christians quit shooting at the Muslims. The foundations laid by Clinton and Bush were perfect for the socialism and the totalitarianism to follow. Yeah. You see, we've been set up. And I'm going to share this revelation with you. We called it Islam Wars Against the U.S. Christians. I mean, that's their plan. They did it in the Middle East. They came against the Christians. Now, I know they're talking about just schools, but you can't believe them because they lie. Okay, that's part of their religion. Okay. And this was given to us by Kay. She said, I live in San Diego. I was looking over at the ocean from a cliff where you can walk down to the water's edge. It was very dark, and the waves were raging. What do you think those waves represent, huh? Well, I think you'll see in just a minute. It was hard to make out the waves, but you could see the whites of the cresting waves. They appeared to be up to 50 feet high. The coastline was all dark rocks except for the area in front of me that looked like golden sand that had been carved into steps that went far out into the ocean. So it looks like they rolled out the red carpet for them. Come on in. Yeah. Steps going out into the ocean. And what is the ocean? Well, just watch. These are the steps of Jesus manifested in the man-child and those who follow in his steps. But also, you know, many times there's a double meaning here, okay? Let's see, the ways. The steps go out into the ways. The ways were pounding the shore, and there was a ferocity to their actions. Well, Islam will make war on the sands of the seashore, meaning Abraham's seed, the Christians. And in the natural, of course, the Jews. And looking down at the steps, I could see in the distance a small boy near the water's edge. And this could be the man-child who will be on the front line of this battle to save Christians. He seemed to have no fear of the waves because he will not fear Islam. And this represents Islam making war against the United States here in the United States, or against Christians in the United States, here in the United States. As I looked in the direction of the child, I saw a vision in the ocean of a huge golden mosque with its teardrop dome taking up the whole scene. Well, in other words, the mosque also represents the waves of the sea that are against Abraham's seed through faith and in the United States. The next moment, it was gone back to being a raging ocean and a dark sky. This is, again, representing Islam. And it's coming war against American Christians. And as I watched the child, I thought to myself, where is his parents? Then the child started climbing up the steps in my direction. When he was near me, I could make out what he looked like. He had dark, curly hair, and he looked like he was 6 years old. Well, six is the number of man, and I believe it represents Jesus and the man-child. Then I heard a voice behind me saying, "Look at the black rope." And I could not see this rope anywhere. And then the dream ended. Well, ISIS and other radicals have made war throughout the Middle East to overthrow relatively peaceful governments and make war against Christianity. And they are now being brought into Europe and this country by a manufactured crisis in order to do the same thing here. And God is chastening apostate Christianity so it'll repent and return to his word. Isn't it amazing how foolish America is? They're sound asleep. Like Deb Orton's revelation about the back of the plane, it was further than the eye could see, full of people that were God's people, sound asleep. There's a rude awakening coming. Isaiah 63:9 says, "In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity He redeemed them, and he bare them, and carried them all the days of old. Missy received a word recently. Esther 4 and 14. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then will relief and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house will perish. And who knoweth whether thou art not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Well, you know, she came to the kingdom at that time as the bride who had been following the man-child, Mordecai, which means little man or man-child, you know. And she was used to save the people of God. She was fearful to go before the king, but she hazarded her life in order to get the message out. She used her persuasion to save the people of God, to teach them, as we said earlier, to stand for their lives. Not with guns, to stand for their lives in righteousness. To stand for their lives by faith in the gospel of God's provision for security and safety. Remember, Zion represents safety. That's why he tells you, come out of Babylon and flee for Zion. It's a place, it represents a place of holiness because the presence of God is there. And it represents a place of safety from the enemy. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him say, come. And he that is athirst, let him come. And he that will, let him take of the water of life freely. There is a war about to break out, and God's people are not putting on their armor. They are not getting prepared to live through this thing. That's part of Esther's job, to teach them how to, quote, stand for their lives. And I know that there are people that are walking in holiness with God, but they may choose to withdraw and not hazard their lives to take care of the people of God who, you know, don't know their right hand from their left hand. Eve recently asked the Father for a word and received Isaiah 33 and 16, and the text goes like this. Now will I arise, says the Lord. Now will I lift up myself. Now will I be exalted. And, you know, first the Lord addresses the fate of those who believe themselves to be a part of Zion, but do not have the fruit. He says in verse 11, you shall conceive chaff, you shall bring forth stubble, wood, hay, and stubble. If a man is sanctified from these, he shall be a vessel meet for the master's use, right? Your breath is a fire that shall devour you. In other words, what they speak, they will receive. What you sow, you reap. And you remember the sower went forth to sow what? Words. Words is what the sower sowed. And the peoples shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut down, that are burned in the fire. Of course, Jesus said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit is cast into the fire. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. the sinners in Zion are afraid. Well, that's how, one way the Lord uses to separate the sinners out of Zion so that it will be holy. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? The sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling has seized the godless ones. God does that. They haven't been made perfect in love. That's why they have fear, according to the Scriptures. Of course, those who are perfect in love are obedient to the Word, right? Trembling. God can send fear in the heart of anyone who's not walking righteous before the Lord. Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings? This is a complaint of these people that are among the people of Zion that don't like the fire that they have to go through to get to the place that the bride is. And somewhere along the road, they just fall out. Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire? They're not willing to burn up their old flesh by being obedient to what the Word of God says. That's when you got your flesh on the altar. In other words, they can't stand to dwell among those who offer up their flesh as a continual burnt offering. So who can dwell there? Well, the next verse says, verse 15, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from taking a bribe. Some people will take any excuse not to obey God like the rest of the bride. Not to obey His Word. They can be bribed by anything. They could come up with the dumbest excuses to disobey God, proving that they're not a part of the bride. That stoppeth his ears from the hearing of blood. Yeah, that's protecting a lot of people from the faction right there. And shutteth his eyes from looking upon evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense, shall be the munitions of rocks. Meaning those who are defended by the Word, the rock, right? His bread shall be given him. So these people, they don't have to worry about getting fed. His waters shall be sure. In other words, he shall have God's supply. There's nothing to worry about. But the people who can't stand to stay among the people of God, for different reasons that the devil gives them, they're not going to be a part of this. And he says of those people who went through the fiery trial to be obedient, they suffered whatever they had to suffer in order to be obedient. Some people don't think you have to suffer anything to obey God, to be one with the bride. He said, thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. In other words, they're going to see the visitation of the Lord in His body. The rest of them won't recognize Him. They'll persecute the people who have the Lord in them, Christ in you, the hope of glory. They'll persecute them. You're either going to be one or the other. They shall behold a land that reacheth afar. They're going to have a lot of freedom and refuge from their enemies. And the rest will be driven out by fear. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling has seized the godless ones. Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings? They couldn't stay in the bride. They didn't want to be in the fire. They didn't want to be obedient. Well, Father, we know that you work all things after the counsel of your own will, and that you have decided to bring this separation in the midst of your body, and to use some of the most evil and wicked people in the whole wide world to come and take out their kinfolk that are hiding among Christianity. Well, Lord, you are so wise. Lord, we don't presume to be able to tell you what needs to be done, for you always know. And Lord, many times our prayers are astray from the mark because we don't understand what you're doing. But we should always start believing that you work all things together for the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose. And of course, this is not true of idolatrous, fornicating, false Christianity. You will destroy that. Well, Father, we just thank you for what you're doing to bring us to maturity. We know you don't want anything else in your kingdom, and that many of the people that claim to be going there are not. They're going to be quite happy to take the mark of the beast because they feel they have to, because they certainly don't want to walk in the wilderness. They certainly don't want to have to walk by faith. So they'll have to take the mark of the beast so they can eat. But we see, Lord, from this text that their food's going to be sure for them. Their defense is going to be sure for them. Them that are still alive in Zion, but not for the sinners in Zion who are departing, even as we speak, through fear, being driven out. Well, Lord, we just praise you for your wisdom. We do pray today, Lord, that all of our brethren who have suffered so much will separate themselves from the works of faction and rebellion against your word so that they can be among the elect. Lord, we ask you for what is also dear to your heart, that you would save your people who are in bondage. Deliver your people who are in bondage. Take them out of captivity, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.